Session number 5868, Heart in Mandy, part 13.
Well, now let me carry on with my tale. Now, in the first place, the German trenches in those days was referred to as the Hindenburg Line. Well, that's really a forerunner of the Siegfried Line in the Second World War. And that last summer, that would be 16, of course, there was determined to break through the Hindenburg Line on the Somme. Well, that's completely come unstuck, as everyone knows, tremendous casualties. But evidently, the big boys decided that the best place to break through would be at Arras, and that's the little affair that I was in. Well, now, I was in the one on the Somme, wounded there. Now, if I try to compare the two, I reckon the Second Battle of Arras, as far as I was concerned, was certainly worse than the Somme. That's as I was, anyway, for myself. So I'm only talking about myself, of course. Well, now, perhaps I'd better start my old tales now. I'm nice and warm and comfortable, so I'll wander back over the years, all being well, and describe the Second Battle of Arras. I believe the last tape I finished, number one tape, that was it. When I finished that, I told you that we was almost ready to go over the top. Well, they come backwards and forward, the officers. Well, then they came and told us definitely the time, the 0 hour, and what would happen would be a 10 minute heavy British barrage on the German line. And then when that 10 minutes was up, that would be 0 hour. So that was very nice, we agreed, and then the message gradually come along, fix bayonet, get all ready, and we were ready. Well, when it was getting up towards the 10 minute British barrage, for some minutes the Germans let loose wholesale, blasted everything with shells. Well, it was obvious they'd been ticked off, must have been, because shells flew everywhere. Well, I had the funny impression, it just crossed my mind, I suddenly crossed my mind, how the hell can you go out in that lot? The shells flying here, there and everywhere. It made no difference. No difference whatever. Finally, air barrage was belting away, and then the time came. Over the top, everybody shouted, over you go. Well, my old mate, well, my new mate really, got only just picked up a month or so in front. Well, we went together, and I don't think we'd gone 20 yards or more. And down he went. I was turned quick. I said, are you all right? He said, no, he said, I've got it in the leg. He said, so he lay there. I said, should be all right. He said, yeah, I'm all right. So I got closer to the machine gun section, next to the bloke carrying the tripod. Well, we hadn't gone many more yards when down he went. Well, then he went down with the tripod. I'd got this load of ammunition. I thought, I'm carrying that no farther. So I just whizzed that away and went on. Now, to try and describe what a battle is like before daylight, it was just as near as you can get to being out in a terrific thunderstorm in the middle of the night with lightning flashes all the time, continual flashes. That's about how it seems, but I can assure you that you don't know what you're doing. I'm absolutely certain, as I look back over the years, you do not know what you're doing. You might as well be sleepwalking. But everything you do is just automatic, as you've been taught. You don't know anything, I know you don't. Anyway, I'll carry on with the town. Well, eventually we got across no man's land. I'm speaking for myself now. You couldn't see anyone. because of the smoke from the shells. Smoke, and that made it worse than ever. And I could safely say, before I reached the German front line, I never saw a soul after my old mate and that gunner went down. Not a soul. And yet we was all going over massed together. You couldn't see anything in the smoke. Well, eventually I arrived, found myself tangled up in their front line, barbed wire in their front line. I thought, well, I fell down. Now here's another little tale. I've got plenty of time, past the time away. Here's a little tale. My mother, after I was captured, because they didn't know at all, didn't know for a long, long time. After I was captured, my mother went into the railway tavern to go and fetch a supper beer. Well, she used to go there to get a supper beer, and there was a sort of little cubby hole where you have to go in there, the old railway tavern. And jug and bottle, I called it in them days. Well, she went there to get a supper beer with a jug, and she heard some soldiers talking in the bar. And she heard there was some home on leave. She heard one of them say, it's no good them looking for Ortmundy. I know he's dead. I saw him fall in the barbed wire. Well, now that worried my mother to death, because it was months after before she even heard that I was a prisoner. So that upset her. Well, now I got up, because being a lot of smoke, he must have been near me and saw me fall. Anyway, I carried on. I never saw a German at all. I jumped over their front line of trenches, slowly wandered on till I got to their second line of trenches. And when I got there was a German stood up. Now, how the hell it was he hadn't got a rifle, I do not know. If he had, I should have had it. Instead of that, he got a shovel in his hand. He got the shovel and he threw it at me. And as he threw, I ducked and fired at him. Well, now I wasn't 10 or 12 yards from him, and I missed him above all things. Now I'll wander again for a tale. I used to watch the television when I could see, and there was a series there, the Rifleman, on the telly in those days. Always 9 years back, perhaps less. And that bloke with a rifle, all hell. As soon as anybody upset him, about a dozen blokes around him with revolvers, he whizzed his rifle round and killed the bloody lot, straight off. Well, there you are. I know different. I missed him, and that were life and death. I missed him at 10 or 12 yards, but he jumped out the back of the trench, started to run, and of course, then naturally, I just took a rammed around him as quick as I could and took a steady aim and shot him, and down he went flat on his face. Well, now, just as I fired that shot, there was an officer come by the back of me. He was evidently running along the back of the second line. He didn't cross it anyway, not that I saw. All he said was, good shot, good shot. I thought, oh well, you didn't see me on the first one. But anyway, he wandered off. And I jumped over the trench. I walked by this German as he lay on his face, and I can always remember seeing him. His arms were stretched wide, his legs were stretched full length apart, and as I got to him, he'd give a sort of a shiver and lay still. So I gradually wandered on, and I hadn't gone a couple of more yards when all the shelling stopped, all the rifle fire stopped, and it was as quiet, and within seconds, as the saying is, the smoke drifted away, and it was broad daylight. Lovely morning. And as soon as I could see it clear, well, I dived straight in the first shell hole I could find. I dropped in there, and I lay still. Well, I laid there all for some time. I thought, well, I'll have a look round. I looked in front towards the German, well, I'd gone beyond the German lines then, but I looked in front to see what was in front, and it was just like a summer's day out in the fields in England. there wasn't a soul. It was as quiet as could be, and all the fields I could see in the distance. Lovely clear morning. And of course, I had a grasp all that just in a quick sight. Well, I pulled my head down and lay still again. And then I thought, well, I'll have a look round behind where we come from. And it was a sight to see. It made you really feel sick. All across no man's land, there was air chaps that had been caught in batches with machine gun fire. Some lay in little bunches, four or five trapped in a little bunch somewhere. Another different place, perhaps further on, earlier or later. Odd ones here and there, and then little bunches. It looked just the same as if you was in the country in England in old days. Look across the meadows in England, and you'll be able to see sheep and cattle grazing, laying about in the summer in the meadows in England. That was exactly as it was with those British kids laying out there. Well, now, I had all that in a very quick glance. Well, my old witching hour again, I'll tell her. Well, now, then I could see, I had to look very quick, because it was a bit risky, probably was anyway. I had another look again, and between the German front line and the German second line, there was very, very few English abates laying there. There was a few, what I could see quickly, but there was quite a lot of Germans with their blue uniforms laying there. Well, one of them was one I left behind there, as a matter of fact. Well, now, I settled down in that shell hole for some time. How long, I can't remember. So long ago. But I laid there for some time. And then I thought, well, I'll have another look out. And I couldn't believe my eyes. Not 200 yards, or much more than 200 yards away, I saw a German walking about. Well, that said it was cold. I saw a German wandering about. I thought, oh. Well, now, I was the first class shot. Yeah, I mean, at least I wore cross guns as marksman. First class shot. And I just slid my rifle quietly over the side of the shell hole, took a steady aim, and down he went. I drew it back quick and lay still. I waited there again for some time before I dare put my head up. And after a little while, I don't know how long, and blowed if I didn't see another German wandering about. Thought, oh, well, this is luck. So I took a steady aim. I couldn't miss at that distance. Took a steady aim, and down he went. But before I could ever get that, I slid back to my head, but before I drew my rifle and bayonet in, the machine gun opened on me. I'd been waiting to see where the first shot come from. When they spotted it, where it came from, the dirt flew all up in front of that shell hole, but I was just enough low enough to miss the direct hit. And I was trapped like hell with my hands, chucked the dirt up in front, much as I could throw, I was just throwing it up in front of me and trying to squeeze down, and then the machine gun stopped. Well, now, I'm going to drift back to my old age and tell you what I think now, or have thought for a long time. To shoot a German, you didn't hate him, you didn't know him. You were doing no more than going out in the fields in England with a gun to shoot a rabbit. Don't know why you've done it. Now, I killed that bloke. Deliberately shot him in the back. If only he'd have put his hands up, I'm absolutely certain. Even though I didn't know what I was doing, I'm sure I could never have shot the bloke dead. Now, that's one case. And it also strikes me what that poor devil may have left a lovely wife and a couple of little kiddies at home. And there was he lay dead through me. Made me feel, I do know I think of it, I bloody well feel ashamed of myself. Now those other two that I shot, was simply a sitting target. A dummy could have kill shot him. Now those two I saw afterwards. Not long after I'd come home I realised what they were. They were just stretcher bearers, German stretcher bearers, coming out to pick up the wounded of their own. Now there's a blasted dirty trick. But I'm sure that's what they were, because I'll rake me brains when I'm something like in these tapes. I can't remember either of them carrying a rifle, never mind anything else. Now look at that, I killed three men, that there's no credit to me for that. I hate myself for doing it. Now then, I'll get on with my fairy tale again. It's passing the sun away. Now then, after a time, I don't know how long it would be, might perhaps be, well, this would be very early in the morning. I'll just give a rough guess, say around about 9 o'clock, and as near as I can imagine it would be. I heard someone shout, and someone came. I looked up quick. It was one of our chaps running from one shell hole to where I was. I expect he felt lonely, and he thought, well, he knew somebody was firing. He ran towards me, and I looked up. I said, there's no room. I hardly said it when down he went. Because I'd got a machine gun trained on that shell hole where I was. Down he went. Well, he fell half in the shell hole, and the other half of him hanging outside. And his head dropped on my shoulder, and the blood streamed out of his head, and all my shoulder and sleeve in no time was saturated. He bled like a pig. Now here's another blooming dirty trick. I can't help it. I've done it. I dragged him in the shell hole where I was. I shoved him up at the front, in front of me, and I chucked dirt over him as much as I could to shield me against the bullets. Well, who the hell would do that in the same mind, I don't know. But I did it. Now, it was getting on in the morning then a bit. I didn't look out much. When I did, I just bobbed my head out quick and pulled it back. Well, then eventually, I had a peek out, and in front of me, there was a long row of Germans. Not running, not firing, just slowly walking. Side by side, a mass of them all in a long row. Oh, hell, as soon as I spotted that, I'd done no more. I jumped out the shell hole and started to run as hard as I could. But I hadn't gone half a dozen yards when I heard someone shouting, come in here, come in here. And it was the German second line, it was, because I'd gone beyond it. I made a dive and jumped head first into this trench. Well, when I got in there and looked round and sorted myself out a bit, there was four British officers. Four, mind you, how they got together I do not know. There were four British officers and three privates. Well, I made four. That was eight of us in that trench there. There were no firing anywhere along the line of these Germans. Well, because it was obvious their trenches was all empty, dry as a river bed. Must have been absolutely empty. They'd emptied their trenches wholesale. Well, they were all laying out in no man's land. That's where our trench soldiers were. Well, there wasn't a shot fired at them at all. They were walking like a Sunday afternoon parade. Well, then, as soon as I got down in there, they stood in a bunch all together, the four officers and the three privates. And just as I got to them, I heard one of the officers, I don't know whether I'd had it over before or not, I don't know. But what I do know is, one of the officers, he'd be the leading one, probably a first lieutenant. Others, I think, were the second lieutenant. But anyway, this one was evidently the leader, because he said, now, what are you going to do? Going to make a fight for it? I'll be packing in. And I love a bloody fool. I could never keep my nose shut. Whether I paid for it in the long run, I don't know. But what I said was just one or two words. All I said was, well, I said, before we come over in this attack, our colonel said, take no prisoners. I said, and if they've been told the same as we have, I said, well, one way's as good as another. And this officer in charge, that's all I want to know, all I want to know. So we straight away got our rifles, all ammo, all what we got, and we fired straight in front of us, direct in front. And the Germans, instead of coming on and rushing at us, they simply parted in the middle, left them as we had shot where they were, just parted in the middle, and passed us each side. Never interfered with us. Parted each side, come each side of us, went carried straight on, and filled their own front line. Filled them all again complete. And they left us where we was, and they took a bit of notice of us. Well, time went on. I picked up with a chap there, he had a chap in the signals, and we all settled down at the bottom of the trench. There were the four officers sat in a row, and me and this other chap at the signals. We were all strangers. Well, to me they were anyway. And the other end of these four officers sat the other two drivers. Well, we sat there some time, and this chap, I sat next to him, he said, oh, he said, oh, I've got a tin of cocoa olay. I don't know where they have it today, but it's sort of cocoa and cream, like Nestle's milk and all that, it's a stick. And he got a spoon, so we had that, went halfway down the tin between us, coughed that and went down all right. And then he said, I'll tell you what we'll do, he said, I'll keep this in my pocket, he said, and then we'll have it this afternoon. Well, as the morning wore on, we all sat there smoking, talking, just casual. And suddenly there was one of our planes came over. Now, in those days, a plane that didn't fly any heights at all. In fact, compared to the day, you could have put a line prop up and knocked them down. They flew very, very low. Now that was one of our planes was flying along the length of the trenches, not straight across, but continuing along the front. Now this is what I can't understand. Not a blooming shell was fired from the German guns. Not one shell sent at him. He just seemed to float along the line, then disappeared in the distance. Well, when he was going over us, we waved like hell. We kept low in the trenches. We got our handkerchiefs out and waved as much as we could at him. He must have seen us. Must have seen we were British there, because their front lines were full of German troops. So he could see, well, they had no eyes. They could see it plain and if they were on the ground. Well, eventually he disappeared. Well, now here's one thing I forgot to tell you. Before I shot those two ambulance men, I'm sure they were ambulance stretcher bearers, before that I was looking out the shell hole, and in the distance, behind the German lines, there was a road leading down from an hill. There was a hill in the distance, and I could see this white road leading down. And there was battalions I saw as almost the length of that hill that I could see, the road. There was German troops marching in column formation, the same as you're on a route march. Marching in fours. And not a bloody shell was ever fired from our lines. With all the tons and tons of shells, I could have wiped a lot of them out, but no. Not a blooming shell, not a single shell fired, nothing. Air trenches were empty, no firing. Now where the hell was that division that they told us about? Pulled their leg, and it's all eyewash, half of the war services. They told us, you take the trenches, the division will come straight up and take them over from you. No, would they say, hell, they never come nowhere. There wasn't a sign of anybody. The Germans could have walked out there and had a dance and had a band out there if they wanted. Nothing fired at them, whatever. And where the hell do you get to in a case like that? All organized. You'll be all right. Oh, now, I just feel my old blind clock and my fingers. It must be getting on for me half hour. The time seems to fly when you're telling the tale. But never mind, it's helped me pass the time. I'll just try and see how it is. Well, I'll just count my old braille clock, and I think my half hour is thereabouts up. Well, now, when Ashley comes out of school tomorrow, I'll get him to turn the tape over, and then tomorrow night, all being well, I'll describe in detail exactly what happened in the British barrage. And it was terrifying, and I'll describe it to you tomorrow night, all being well. Good night.